Oh, hi. This is joint work with Francis Back from INRIA, the Sierra team, and Cédric Fevot from CNRS and the statistics team from Telecom Paritech. And I'm going to talk about Itakura Saito and negative matrix factorization with group sparsity. So there have been several talks about Itakura Saito non-negative matrix factorization. So we have been working on adding priors within this framework. So I'll go over quickly non-negative matrix factorization in the next few slides. So here you can see a simple example of an audio signal. It's composed of piano notes. At each ear, you can see that first four notes of piano are played, and then combinations of two, which are harmonic, which are one octave up to the other. So this is an example of a very very difficult source separation context. And what we can see here is that so we have the data, and non-negative matrix factorization consists in learning a Bayes dictionary, so with Bayes spectra, and their time activation. So here we can see the dictionary and the time activations, and you can see that very clearly you can see the notes are separated, and you can see their time activations very very easily. So here you can see that four notes are played together, and then combination of two notes. And there are still two components that are left, one that explains noise, and one that you can see here that if we could listen to it, it sounds like the hammer of the piano. So this is an example of where Itakura Saito non-negative matrix factorization works really well. I also have an example of non-negative matrix factorization using another loss, which is the Euclidean loss. So here's the same time plots, except you can see that for the first note, which is the third component here, you can see that the third component gets split up with other components, so the separation is not so good as before. And that is explained by the fact that Itakura Saito measure of divergence is more sensitive to high frequency amplitudes, so it yields a better separation quality. So now, if we move on to more complicated audio signals, a problem appears that if you have only two sources, each source can emit several different spectra. For example, when I speak, there are several spectra that you can associate to my voice. I'm not only always saying the same thing. So there is the problem of grouping the components into sources, assigning several components to sources. So, for instance, you can simply run NMF and look at the activation coefficients. So here you can see matrix H, and you can see that in this very simple example where you have bass and guitar, and they are overlapping in this medial region, you can see that for some components there is already very clear hints that these components can be assigned to the bass, and other components to the guitar. So one approach is to look at the dictionary, and either guided by a heuristic or just with the ear, an engineer can design the best grouping of components into sources. But the problem is that as the tracks get longer, as you get more tracks, and also as the dictionary get larger, this becomes more complicated, so for the engineer, because there is a lot more work to do. And if you are guided by a heuristic, this heuristic will involve considering all permutations of the columns of your dictionary. So if you have five permutations, you have a factorial five permutations to see, it's still small. But if you move on to 10, 20 components in your dictionary, this becomes way too long. So you would run NMF for 30 seconds, and you would spend one day considering all the permutations to group the sources. So what we want to do is to include the grouping in the learning of the dictionary. So One way of thinking how to group the components is to think about the sound levels of each source at a given time. So here, for a given track, I computed the volume for each source, so the bass, the guitar, and the voice. And you can see that there are some hints that you can use. For instance, at this time, you can see that the bass has a very low level compared to the other sources. So you could say that at some points, one source is inactive, whereas the other are active. And also, another idea is to explain the fact that the shapes of these volume activations are very different. So, now coming back to the framework, I will set up the notations a little bit. So, what we have been looking at, so the data is the observed power spectrum. And at time n, you can consider that in our model, if you have an additive linear model, the observed spectrogram can be modeled as the sum of several components, and each component, so the complex spectrum, is modeled as a Gaussian with diagonal covariance. And non-negative matrix factorization consists in computing a factorization of the parameters of this model. So. So in this case, in the case of the Itaco-Asaito divergence, this corresponds to having a Gaussian model, which means that we have a truly additive model for the power spectrogram. So even if the model is not additive for the observed spectrogram, it's really additive for what we want to estimate, that is the parameters. And that is the only model for which you can get this fact to be true. So having the Gaussian assumption, you can turn to looking at the power spectrogram, and it means that actually the power spectrogram is distributed as an exponential with parameters W and H, where W is the basis dictionary and H the time coefficients, the time activations. And so in my notation, H has several rows, and you want to find a partition of the rows of H into, say, two groups, but this may generalize to an arbitrary number of groups. So we want to find the partitions of the rows of H into, so here it will be two groups with the same number of components. Now, coming back to the previous slides, what is the volume in what is the sound level of each source in our model? Well, if you assume that the sums of each column of W sums to one, then the sum level of one source will be the sum of activation coefficient of group one, which corresponds to source one. So what we want to model is these coefficients. So the inference we propose is to learn the grouping at the same time as the factorization. So this corresponds to doing standard Itaco-Asaito NMF, and we propose adding a prior that factorizes in the groups that are the different sources. So so here, since you have a non-negative coefficient, this L1 norm is just the sum of the coefficients of H for one source, that is one group at a given time, and psi here, we only assume that it is a concave function. And so what this optimization problem tells you is that you want to have a fit to the data, but at the same time you have a prior on that there are, that at a given time there are only a few sources that are active at the same time. So in our model, we have a particular choice for psi. But if you look at the paper, you will see that it comes from a graphical model with two layers, and so I won't talk too much about this. And this corresponds actually to maximum likelihood inference of the parameters of our model, given a generative model of the data and a prior model on H. So about the inference of the parameters for the algorithms, in the Itaco-Asaito divergence, it's very hard to have gradient related methods to do the parameter inference, we must resolve to multiplicative updates because they go way faster. Here is an example of at the right doing the running the algorithm with either a gradient related methods or a multiplicative updates method, and the multiplicative updates method goes way faster and actually converges to better local minima. So our algorithm doesn't change significantly from standard Itaquasaito NMF. We just add two terms, which correspond to our prior. And since here psi is a concave function, you have that psi prime increases with the sound level of source one. So what the algorithm tells you is that at each step you are going to update h so as to get a better fit of the data corresponding to the Itaquasaito non-negative matrix factorization. And the more source one, the less source one will be at a high volume, the more you will penalize the temporal coefficient at this time. So it means that this algorithm will push low amplitude sources to zero and keep high amplitude sources. So I insist on the fact that even if we have a new prior, this doesn't change the speed of this doesn't change at all the speed of the algorithm. It converges in approximately 1,000 iterations. So the time cost of this algorithm is really the same as Itaquasaito NMF. Now, one complicated aspect of having this prior is that you must do selection for the hyperparameter. So the hyperparameters in our model are lambda and a for the choice of psi. So, given that we actually have a graphical model that explains the choice of this prior, we could resort to Bayesian tools to estimate those parameters, but. Actually, we devised a statistic that is much more simple to tune lambda. So, and it's, the principle of this statistic is that if you recover the right parameters, then V given these parameters should be exponentially distributed. So, if you compute now statistics that are V over the estimation of WH. And you have and you look at this random variable, then it should be distributed as an exponential one, and you have a lot of samples of this because you have as many frequencies and as many frequency bins, as many statistic samples as you have time frequency bins. So you have a lot of them, and computing Kolmogorov-Smirnov statistic becomes very interesting because it's very cheap. And you can you can just run a whole grid of experiments and look at the parameter values for which you have the lowest Kolmogorov-Smirnov statistic. So we did that on synthetic data to check that our model recovers sources. So we have synthetic data generated from the model, and here you can look at. So I will look at a different number of training sample for the model, and you can look at the top. The value of our statistic, that is in blue. In red, a measure of divergence to the true model, because in this setting, we generated synthetic data from a known model, so we can actually compute given parameter estimates the divergence to the true model. And here you can see a classification score. So this classification score is if recover correctly source one when source one is active. If we cover correctly source 2 when source 2 is active. So when there are only 100 observations, you can see that there is pretty good classification accuracy, but it's difficult to find a minimum of the test statistic. And as you increase the number of points, it gets the statistic gets lower, better and better, and you can more clearly see the minimum of the statistic, and also the divergence of the true model says you get better estimates. So this just means the more data you have, the better our prior will estimate a sparse model. So this is a test on synthetic data, and we will now turn to experimental results. So a first idea is to try this in a simple segmentation task, where you know that at each given time there is only one store that, that is active. And a good thing is to compare our algorithm with just the simple idea of doing NMF and then finding the best permutation given given a statistic. So here, given a heuristic. So here the heuristic is compute NMF and find the permutation that minimizes this quantity, just to give a fair comparison. So this is the result of plain NMF with this heuristic grouping. So here you can see, so the mix was first flute, then speech. You can see here the sources. So that's the result of NMF with heuristic grouping. So you can see that there are still a lot of mixing up. The sources are still mixed up a lot. And this is the result with our algorithm that learns the grouping at the same time as the NMF. So here you can see that the separation gets a lot more clear. This is an encouraging result. And the second experiment that we ran was on real overlapping signals. So we took samples from the CSEC database, and we evaluated the quality of the separation when we varied the degree of overlap between the sources. So the more overlap, the more difficult it becomes to do the separation. And I insist here on the fact that we have no model on W, so you can't hope for perfect separation, but you will see that when you vary the less overlap you have, the better the separation. So here you have a very good separation for 33% only overlap. So the sources, here is the mix. This is guitar, and this is voice. So you can see that for 33% overlap, you get a very good separation quality, given in terms of SDR. And as the overlap increases, it gets worse and worse. So what our prior is for that is when not all sources are active at the same time, it retrieves a good quality separation. So we can listen at the example. So I know it doesn't work, because it hasn't worked for other people. So we have the sources, I think, here. Okay. So, okay, so let's listen first to the mix. So this is the estimated guitar, the source. Let's skip directly to the results, because I guess that you already know the source. And let's see how good we have an estimate of Shannon Hurley's beautiful voice. Thank you so have 10 seconds left for the conclusion. So we have proposed a simple sparsity prior to do a grouping of the sources and solve the permutation problem in this single channel source separation case. And we show that our algorithm yields better results than grouping with as a post-processing step. And in future work, we will try to incorporate smoothest prior to understand the temporal dynamics of H. Thank you.
We have time for only one quick question.
Hello. So the demos you played, they are mostly full of harmonic components. And the harmonics are very much related because they play according to the guitar. So the singer was close to the guitar. And I am wondering how much the sampling rate and the FFT size influences your results. I mean, if you would choose higher FFT resolution, would it be different? Would you get better separation? Did you consider such a experiment?
Okay, so we don't talk about this in the article. Now, from my experience, this is not very sensitive to the sampling rate that you choose. For this experiment, I chose a sampling rate of 22 kilohertz because it's just because of computing time concern. I guess for the example where you have guitar and voice, since they play in the approximately in the mid and high level of the spectrogram, this wouldn't have too much effect because in this high range the frequencies are pretty well separated, but if you have bass and another source, then clearly having a good resolution will help for since we have no model for the basis columns, then having a good sampling rate having a good sampling rate will help because you can get better resolution, you can afford longer time windows, hence better resolution in the frequency range, which is particularly important in the low frequency range.
Thanks.
Apart from that, I would say that the results are very robust to those parameters.
Okay, thank you.